ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्ततामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी. We're in verse 26. Chapter 3. Nibuddhi bedam janaye, nibuddhi bedam janaye, ajnanam karma sanginam, ajnanam karma sanginam, joshayet sarva karmani, joshayet sarva karmani, vidvan yuktas samacharam, vidvan yuktas samacharam. Na buddhi, buddhi bhedam generate ajnanam karma sanginam, joshayet sarva karmani, joshayet sarva karmani, vidvan yuktaha samacharam. Remember in the previous verse, Krishna was saying to Arjuna, he said, hey Bharata, the avidvans, those people who don't have knowledge, just as they perform their karmas being attached, saktaha, they're attached, means they're very attached to the results of their actions. I do these karmas so that I can enjoy a certain pala, or I do these karmas for adrishta, so that I can have a good next life, or have obtain gain punya, and avoid papa. So there, a vidvan, an ajnani, is somebody who just naturally is attached to the results of their actions. So just as they are in this, doing actions in that way, in the same way, you also do actions, but being asaktaha, but being someone who is unattached, and you do those actions for loka sangraha, because you desire to do, to help them, to do what is for their own good, for their welfare. The loka sangraha means you set an example in terms of dharma, and you do your duties within the world. You do your duties in terms of what is before you to be done. That's going to be true whether you're a sannyasi or you're a karma yogi, no matter what walk of life you're in, the world presents you with things that are appropriate in terms of your actions. And so those actions you do. Okay. So that was in the verse 25. Now he says, he goes on, Nabhudi bhedam janayet. He says, ajnanam karma sanginam. For the ajnanis, for those who don't have knowledge, who are karma sanginam. Karma sanghi, sangha, attached, sanghi, those who are attached. Karma sanginam, genitive plural. So for those ajnanis who are attached to their karmas, means to the karma polas, for them, nabuddhi bedam janayet. Don't confuse their mind. Buddhi means their intellect. Beda, buddhi bedam, means cause division, cause confusion, split up their mind. Don't bring confusion to their mind, to those people who are ajnanis. They don't have knowledge, right? And they are devoted to karma, to dharma, adharma, to proper action, and devoted to doing a karma for the result. That's why they do a karma, because they naturally, if they're ajnanis, they would take themselves to be a karta, a doer, and a bhokta, enjoyer. Karta means I am the doer of my actions. Bhokta means the karma pala, the fruit of those actions I enjoy. So that's what we say, karta, bhokta. I do the actions, I enjoy the results. That's why we say these two together. Who is a karta bhokta? The ajnani, the one who's ahankara, who's, as we'll see later, the one who's ahankara, is identified with what we call the karya karana sanghata. This term comes all of the time in Vedanta. Sanghata means the group, the collection, the group of karya and karana. Karya means the effect, the karana is the cause. What they mean by the cause effect, the karana is going to be the sense organs and the mind. It means that which is subtle, the sukshma sharira. The karya, the effect, is the stula sharira. So this whole complex, the body, we call, translate it like this, the body-mind complex. Right? The karya karana sankata, this body-mind complex, the ahankara is identified with, the I notion. Right? That's what makes, and that is why, because of ajnanam. And so for such a person whose ahankara is identified with the body-mind complex, the karya karana sankata, so for such a person, don't confuse them. Don't confuse them. So what does he mean? Joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yuktaha samacharam. A person who is a vidvan, a person who has knowledge, then that person who is yuktaha means endowed with knowledge. Yuktaha means has control of the sense organs. That's one meaning. But also the vidvan who is yuktaha means they know the self. Their knowledge is complete. So Swamiji takes it more that way. You can also take it as the person who really, the vidvan, who has self-knowledge, who has control of his faculties or her faculties, but also who is jnanena yuktaha. The vidvan is the one who is endowed with knowledge, right? So for that person who has knowledge, then for that person, being a vidvan, samacharan, do your karmas well. Do well. Do your karmas well. Doing well. Samyak charana. Acharana, behaving properly, joshayet sarva karmani, encourage all of the karmas. Encourage the people to do all of these karmas. Means encourage the people to behave dharmically and to do their duty. Don't confuse them. In other words, don't say, because now that you're a jnani, don't say, what's the matter? Why are you doing all these karmas? It's useless. Don't you know? You're free of all karma. Why are you praying? Why are you doing your rituals? Why are you doing this japa? Why do you bother? It's not necessary. The Atma never changes. Forget it. Give up all of your karmas. Would that make any sense? Would it make any sense? It's really so. But I guess because such a tendency might be there, that Bhagavan gives several verses on this. Gives several verses talking about how to be for a person who has jnanam, how to be and why. So you have to understand also, it's all for your own, for our own understanding. But first of all, there is nothing that you can do or not do that would make you a karta. It has nothing to do with your doing or not doing. As long as what makes you a karta, a doer, is ajnanam. The Atma is always a karta, is never ever at any time a doer. So your knowledge is, your doing is irrelevant to being a karta or a karta. And so for you to tell somebody who doesn't have knowledge to not do something is to yourself to be totally ignorant of the situation. You see what I mean? How could you tell somebody to not do something because in truth they're akarta? The akarta, being akarta, has nothing to do with your doing something or not doing something. So it amounts to saying, you know, be lazy or do a dharma because nothing happens to yourself. Even though it's true that nothing happens to yourself ever at any time, your doing or not doing has nothing to do with that fact. And your recognition of that fact has nothing to do with your doing or your not doing. Right? Your doing or not doing will never harm yourself, is true. But your doing or your not doing will have no effect on your being a doer or not being a doer. Do you understand? I guess I can kind of talk in circles here, but nevertheless. So what's the next step? So he says, don't confuse the buddhi, the mind, of someone who takes themselves to be a karuta. Don't confuse the mind of somebody who doesn't have knowledge, who naturally takes themselves to be a karuta, and naturally is related to the karmapala, right? The effects of their action. I do this so that I can gain punya. I do this so that I can be happy. I don't do this so that I can avoid papa. I don't do this because I don't want it. This is samsara. Right? This is how it is. All of it is based upon the karuta. So don't tell the person who takes themselves to be a karuta to do or to not do. Rather, set an example for following dharma, because for the karuta, what is going to bless that person's life is dharma. What is going to hurt that person's life is adharma. And so you need to set an example by your actions. Okay, by your actions. Let me see if I want to do this next verse. Okay, by your actions. Okay, a couple more things on this. Swamiji talks about this really beautifully in his Bhashya on this. So I'm just going to say a few words about it. The jnani doesn't give knowledge by example. Right? By example, the jnani gives dharma adharma, how to be in the world. That's how the jnani sets an example. By the actions, by the way of behaving, by the way of relating, by choosing to do what is right in a given situation. So there the jnani is setting an example by action, but what is the example? Dharma. Right? The jnani gives knowledge by teaching. Right? I read this a couple of times. I didn't quite understand what Swamiji was talking about when I was reading this, and then I read it a couple of times. Oh, that is so nice. Because when people think of a teacher, their teacher, you know, oftentimes the teacher will be imitated. And that's, but you have to know what you're imitating, what you're copying, what you're revering. You're revering the way that they behave in the society or behave with others for the sake of antakarana shuddhi. Right? It helps you. You revere them and imitate them or try to understand the way that they behave in certain ways for your own growth in terms of antakarana shuddhi. But you can't imitate them into knowledge. Right? You can't imitate them into knowledge. The teacher gives you knowledge through the use of the pramana, through the use of the teaching, through the unfoldment of the Upanishads. It's the words, the unfoldment of the words, that make you a jnani. Right? It's not the example of the teacher that makes you a jnani. The example of the teacher, hopefully, helps you to gain antakarana shuddhi, because if they take their role seriously, and what is natural also, they are an exemplar of dharma. So, I mean, I feel, just speaking personally for myself in the years that I spent with Swamiji, with me, with him and without him, because if he's there in your psyche, if you spend a little time with him, then his behavior, his kindness, his ability to have a certain equipoise no matter what the situation is, his ability to give and endlessly give, all of these things are something that teach us over and over. He becomes an exemplar. You know, because you learn from his behavior. And I think that from any good person that you come into contact with, they become an exemplar. You learn from their behavior. You imitate their behavior, you understand their behavior, you think about their behavior. It helps so much in terms of antakarana shuddhi. that understanding their actions like that, imitating their actions, valuing their actions. But that isn't what gives you knowledge. No amount of imitation, as beautiful as it may be, makes you into a jnani. It gives you the antakarana shuddhi, can help with the antakarana shuddhi, but the knowledge comes through the teaching. So that's also important. Mm. As obvious as it seems, it's really very beautiful, especially when you see that not being understood. Mm. You know? Yeah. So let's go on to the next verse. Prakrite kriyamanani. Prakrite kriyamanani. Gunai karmani sarvashaha. Gunai karmani sarvashaha. Ahankara vibhudhatma. Ahankara vibhudhatma. Karataham iti manyate. Karataham iti manyate. Prakritehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudha atma karta aham iti manyate. Shankara introduces this. He says, avidvan agnyaha katam karmasu sajjate iti aha. He says, how is it that a person who's ignorant, and avidvan and agnyaha means the same, avidvan and agnyaha, katam, how is a person who's ignorant, how is it that they sajjate, they become attached to all of the karmas? How does that happen? He says, the Lord says, Krishna says, kriyamanani karmani. All of the karmas are being done gunaihi, by the gunas prakritehi. All the karmas, all actions, all karmas, whether in the bhasha, whether vaidika or laukika, worldly actions or rituals that are enjoined by the Vedas, actions that are enjoined by the Vedas, so all of the actions that we do, all of them are kriyamanani. All of them are being done by the gunas of prakriti. And here, by the gunas, it means by the vikaras. There's a lot of different meanings for the word guna. The word guna, just to go through a few of them, because this is important, it's true. This is true for the word dharma also. There's several words like this that are used in many different ways. First, guna often just means an attribute, a vishesha, an attribute of a substantive. So that's very, very, very common. Another one, maybe less common perhaps, but guna means like a person who's a gunavan, means a person who has good qualities. He has so many gunas. He said, oh, she has so many gunas. So many beautiful qualities. So their gunas just being used as good qualities. Or gunas being used just to mean an attribute. Or guna also is, in Sanskrit, a-o. Are the guna letters. Right? That's another, right? Guna. Guna also means sattva, rajas, and tamas. So usually when we think of prakriti or maya, we think of maya has three gunas. Three strands. And we think three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. So maya, prakriti, we mean the same thing in Vedanta. So if we say the gunas of prakriti, you can take that means sattva, rajas, tamas of prakriti. Or guna means just vikara. Vikara means a modification. And so if we say the modifications of prakriti, of course it's only going to be the three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, that are modifying. But here in this sense, it's better to take kriyamanani karmani, the karmas, kriyamanani, that's a present participle, present passive participle. Most of you haven't learned that yet. So the karmas are being done, Sadhu translate, all of the karmas are being done by the modifications, gunaihi, of the prakriti. Sarvashaha, in all different ways. Okay. So what are considered now the modifications of prakriti, the karya karana sangata? This body, mind, sense organs, everything that makes you a jiva, right? Wherever the ahankara can identify. So the karya karana sangata, this body, mind, sense organs are what? They are a modification of prakriti. So all activities, all actions that take place, all karma that takes place is nothing but a modification. It's nothing but...
Imagine.
Yeah, it's nothing but a modification. It's nothing but a modification of prakriti. Okay? So you can say it's nothing but a modification of prakriti. What are they talking about? Prakriti. Prakriti means maya. We say, what is the stuff of maya? Prakriti. Prakriti is used synonymously with maya. In Sankhya, that's the word that they use. But in Advaita Vedanta, we use maya and prakriti as synonymous. There is no prakriti that is not maya. Maya is the prakriti. And what is the prakriti? Made of sattva, rajas, and tamas. Okay? So now if we say... all karmas are being done. You're not going to say all karmas are being done by sattva, rajas, and tamas, of the sattva, rajas, and tamas of prakriti. We say all the karmas are being done by this other meaning of guna, by the vikaras of prakriti. Prakriti itself is sattva, rajas, tamas. So if we say all activities are being done by the modification of prakriti, that means you are a modification of prakriti. All of the actions, let me put it in a different way, all of the actions that you do, all of the actions that are being done here, that you're identified with, they're nothing but modifications of prakriti. Sarvashaha, all kinds of them. Sarvashaha, in many different ways. That shaha gets manner, means manner. So sarvashaha, in many different ways, all of these karmas, that all the many different types of karmas, all the different kinds of karmas that are being done, all of them are but modifications of prakriti. Ahankara vimuda atma yasya. The one who's Atma, the one who's mind. Here, Atma means mind. The one who's, because the Atma doesn't become deluded, right? So, Ahankara Vimuda Atma. The one who's self means the one here is Antakarana. The one whose mind is deluded, Vimuda. By what? By the Ahankara. What is the Ahankara? The Ahankara is the I notion that identifies with all of these, that identifies with the prakriti. So the one whose self is deluded by the ahankara, karta aham iti manyate, that person manyate thinks. That one thinks, karta aham, I am the karta. So look at what's here. It's really beautiful what's being said. All activity, and then he's going to go on with this a little bit. All the activity that you're experiencing, all change that you experience, all the things that your body does, your sense organs do, everything that your mind does, all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, all activity, all of it is nothing but a modification of the prakriti, of maya. None of it is outside of maya. The one whose mind is deluded, the one whose mind is deluded by the ahankara, by the I notion, that person manyate, that person thinks, karta aham iti. I am the karta, I am the doer. What is the ahankara? How do we use the word ahankara?
The I notion.
We can say I notion. What is the I notion?
Identification.
Yeah.
Who said there's an I?
Yeah. When you have the ahankara, when you have, say if you look at the types of the types of the mind, what are the chitta? There's the ahankara, and types of four types of thoughts in the antakarana. The ahankara is one. Mm-hmm. Buddhi, chitta, manas. Mm-hmm. The ahankara is a type of thought, born of ignorance. And what is the thought? The thought is, we call it the hridaya grantihi. The ahankara is called hridaya grantihi. The knot of the heart. It's a beautiful. The ahankara is the knot of the heart because the ahankara is half correct. Because when you say, I am, right? I am a conscious being, that ahankara is now rooted in the truth of the conscious being that is Brahman, right? So that's the truth. But the notional aspect, the ahankara lassoes or knots itself. It lassoes the body or the mind or the sense organs or any of the karya karana sangata, any of the body-mind complex, anything that can be taken as an upadhi, that is what creates the upadhi, is what creates the ahankara. That's why we call it upadhi. Right? Upadhi means that the ahankara has come into being. Because I can take that to be myself. If I can take that to be myself, the ahankara is generated. And so what is there happening that allows for this ahankara to be manifest? The ahankara itself is prakriti. The ahankara itself is prakriti. Because anything, if we say the karya karana sangata, right, is a modification, it's nothing but a modification of prakriti. What is included in the karya karana sangata? The sukshma sharira, right? The subtle body, the causal body, I mean the subtle body, the physical body, all of my thoughts, which includes the ahankara, right? All of the thoughts, all the intellection, the indecisive mind, all of the different types, all of my imagination, anything that exists within duality, right? All of these things are maya. All of these things are prakriti. So what do I identify with in those things? The karya karana sangata. What are those? The body mind sense complex. Prakriti alone. Okay. So as long as that, for the one for whom that identification is there, because of ajnanam, right? That mind says, that mind considers, I am the doer. Whereas really the only thing that is doing is the prakriti, not the atma. And that's true on the most subtle levels. We have one little, I don't know if you picked up on it, but in the meditation. If you're sitting, this is a beautiful recognition. Say you're sitting, and what I just said this time now, imagine a meadow. And notice that even the meadow now is known, right? I could say, imagine a pot. The pot is known. Imagine a meadow. The meadow is known. Whatever is imagined is known. Because it's a manifestation, you can say, of consciousness, or it's a manifestation of knowledge. It is known. Like that, from Ishwara's standpoint, the entire creation is known. But then you recognize in that manifestation of knowledge, like for instance of the meadow, that there has been no change or no act of knowing or no perception taking place in your own being, in spite of the meadow being known. The self, the Atma, doesn't become a knower. The meadow is known. The Atma remains exactly the same as just pure self-evident being. Self-evident being. Self-evident consciousness, if you want me to say. If I say, now this is another little play on words. What is the difference? If I say self-evident being, the word self-evident brings the swaprakashatvam, the consciousness, to the being. If I say self-evident being, you can't say existence is self-evident. But what if I do? If I say self-evident being, self-evident existence, that means the being that I am. What if I say self-evident amness? The amness which is consciousness. The problem is when we use words like consciousness or awareness, because we have those words in our daily life, we always tend to think of it as an act, like knowership. If I say awareness, awareness and consciousness can be confused with knowing. If I use the word knowing, for instance, if I use the word knowing, I'm knowing something. I can say, I am aware of something. I am conscious of something. I know something. So these words, consciousness, awareness, knowing, in our minds naturally bring to mind an object, which makes knowing an act. I am knowing this. You see what I'm saying? Now, what about when consciousness itself, just self-evident, the self-evident me, the being that I am not performing any act of knowing. I am just self-evident consciousness. I am the truth of what is. But I'm not performing a function of lighting up something, making it known. I am not doing something to make it known. But because the self-evident being, which I am, is in fact the Adhishtana, it is in fact what is, any manifestation, like a meadow, or any thought that comes to mind, that thought is known. That's the very nature of the Maya. It is known. But there is nothing changing in me when this meadow becomes known. And so that's why I say, in a meditation especially, until this just becomes a second nature in your recognition of your own being, if you allow your mind to become gain a meditative state in the sense that the mind becomes relaxed and very quiet, and you let your own presence come to the forefront, like to the foreground. Sometimes when I use this foreground, kind of a gestalt way of talking, you let it come to the foreground. Then you imagine a meadow and see if your self is knowing that meadow, even though the meadow is known. This is the differentiation I want you to work on. See whether the self is knowing the meadow, even though the self is self-evident. The meadow is manifest knowledge, and it is known. But is consciousness knowing the meadow? Is your being knowing the meadow? So actually, your being is not doing anything. It just simply is self-evident me. Right now, at this instant, I am just self-evident me. Everything is known. Everything is being experienced. There's a duality here between seer, seen, hearer, heard. This is all prakriti, right? The sattva. Seer, seen, hearer, heard. Thinker, thought. That's sattva. When we talk about knowledge, we're talking knowledge, manifestation of knowledge. We're talking about sattva. And so the seer, right? The seer sees form. That's all the sattva fire, the sattva aspect of fire. The seer sees form. The hearer hears sound. The sense of touch, the one who has a sense of touch, feels what can be felt. The sense of smell smells what can be smelled, scent. Similarly with taste. Right? But all of this duality is prakriti. Whatever the mind feels, whatever the mind thinks, whatever the mind imagines, whatever the mind perceives through the sense organs, all of it is prakriti. Even when the ahankara comes, because of ajnanam, the ahankara comes and makes a statement that is ignorant, I am the body. The one who makes the statement, I am the body, the ahankara, or I am the mind, or I am upset, or I am happy, prakriti. All of it is prakriti. Right? So all of the activity, whether it be sensory activity, whether it be the pramanas working, the activity, pramanas being the relative of pramanas working, the sattva activity, or the rajas activity, all of this activity is nothing but prakriti. And so the ajnani, not recognizing this is the prakriti, that prakriti of the mind, which is also just the sattva prakriti of the mind, identifies the atma, which is not prakriti, right? Which is the very self, the truth of prakriti. It identifies that truth with the changing prakriti. Prakriti identifies the Atma with itself. Right? The Atma is not doing anything. The Atma is not identifying with anything. The Atma is just simply pure, the pure being which is me. But the Prakriti right, is identifying itself with the Prakriti. The mind, which is Prakriti, right, identifies the ahankara, that type of a thought, that type of a vritti, that belongs to the mind, which is nothing but a modification of Prakriti, that antakarana, vritti, in the form of an ahankara, identifies the atma, which is changeless, which is kutastha, which is asanga, which is always the same, which is the very being of the whole thing, but that antakarana identifies that presence, my own presence, with these modifications of Prakriti. And thereby, having done that, thinks, I am a karta. I am a karta. I am a doer. I am a bhokta. That's how that happens. And so, let's do the next one. Tepavitu mahabaho. Tepavitu mahabaho. Gunakarma vibhagayoho. Gunakarma vibhagayoho. Guna guneshu vartante. Guna guneshu vartante. Iti matva nasajjate. Iti matva nasajjate. Tepavitu mahabaho. Guna karma vibhagayoho. Guna gunaha guneshu vartante iti matva nisajjate. He says, hey Mahabaho, O mighty armed, great armed one. Krishna addressing Arjuna. Tetvavit too. Where is the tetvavit? Now he's differentiating the two, means whereas or but, to differentiate from the ajnani. The tetvavit. The tetvavit, the knower of the truth. This word tetva, the twa is the abstract. Remember how twa is the abstract? The abstract of that. That is a pronoun that can be applied to anything and everything. So the ness of that, that being a pronoun for all that is, so that's how this word tetva comes into being. The ness of that standing for everything is a pronoun. Name for pronoun in Sanskrit is sarvanama. Isn't that nice? Sarvanama. Name for everything is the name for a pronoun. So tetva. So the tetva vit, the one who knows the truth of this guna karma vibhaga. Vibhaga means the divisions. There's a couple of ways to take this. Swamiji took this in a way that I think is interesting. Vibhaga means the differentiation or separation. Vibhaga means to separate. So the one who knows the separation of the gunas and the differences of the gunas and the differences of karma. But as Swamiji took this a little differently than what Shankara had to say, it's like this. If I understand the gunas, the guna here is being used as the vikaras of Prakriti, all the modifications of the Prakriti, which is the karya karana sangata, this body-mind-sense complex. The body-mind-sense complex. Okay, so now, if I understand the separation of the body-mind-sense complex from myself, if I have that viveka, right? Here's this body, there's of the karya and karana sangata. There's so many parts to the human being. And in fact, there's 19 parts. If we look at the 5 pranas, the 5 organs of action, the 5 sense organs, and the 4 antakaranas, buddhi, chitta, manasa, ahankara. 19 components. Okay, all of these components make up the karya and karana sangata. Right? The stula, sukshma, shariva, this jiva. The one who has differentiated all of these parts from the Atma, that person is a tetvavit. That person has viveka in reference to the karya karana sangata, has viveka in reference to all of the parts of the jiva. I know myself in reference to all of these vikaras, all of these modifications. There's viveka. There's differentiation there. There's no identification. That's the tattva bit, the one who knows the essence of all of these. I know that I am the self of all of these. This is a really beautiful way to say it. I know that I am the tattva. I am the self of all of this. Karyakarana Sangata. But I am free of all of this. I am the self of this. Right? I am the Atma. I am the self of all of this. The body, mind, sense, organs, etc. But these things are not me. I am all of these things. But these things are not me.
Mm-hmm.
Because if these things were to die or change, I remain the same. So because of me, these things are. I am. Because of these things, because I am, these things are. But with or without these things can die, disappear, or change. I still am. So the anvaya-vyatireka doesn't hold up. Right? The anvaya-vyatireka, the anvaya is this. I am this body is. So I can say, I am this body. I am the very being of this body. Because I am this body is. Because I am this mind is. Because I am the sense organs is, are. So I am this. But should this go away, I still am. Should the body die, I still am. Should the sense organs go away, I still am. Should the mind change, I still am. And so I am it, it is not me. That's understanding the vibhaga. That's understanding the relationship. Because otherwise, if you don't understand it that way, then there's some sort of a distance between yourself and this, between the satyam and mitya. Between satyam and mitya, there's no distance. Satyam, the mitya, has no being apart from the satyam. You know, it's not like mitya can be out there by itself somewhere. Mitya has nothing. It has nothing apart from the satyam. The satyam is its very truth. That's why we say it's the adhishtana, right? The rope is the satyam. It's the adhishtana. It's the very basis. It's the thing that is actually there. The snake is mitya. It can't have any being whatsoever apart from the satyam, which is the adhishtana. So like that, I am the satyam. I am what is actually here. But the ahankara, if the ahankara identifies this me that is actually here with this, then what it's doing is giving the gunas, now I'm using gunas as qualities, the dharmas, the attributes of all of this to me. And that isn't true. So the viveka has to come along. This vibhaga. The vibhaga here is the viveka. Where I'm able to distinguish my being, the constancy, the truth of my being, the satyam that is abiding changelessly asanga, amidst all of this activity. So the tattvavit, the one who is the knower of the truth, knows the truth of all of this. That I am knows the truth of myself. I am the satyam amidst all of this. Karyakarana Sangata. I am the satyam amidst all of the activities that the prakriti does. All of the activities, the vaidika activities that I might do, or the laukika. Vaidika and laukika. Vaidika means Vedic born. The karmas that I do, all of the karmas that are being done, all of the rituals that are being done, or all of the actions that I do, right? That the prakriti does. I know that in doing all of those actions, I am not a doer. All these actions are being done. I am doing all of these actions, I'm not a doer. Because the prakriti is doing them. My body is doing these actions, my sense organs are doing the actions, my mind is doing this, working overtime, thinking, and worrying, and feeling about this and that, doing so many different actions, right? So there I am, doing all of these actions from the standpoint of the prakriti. But I am not doing any action at all. And that is aparoksha. That is self-evident to me. Because I am me. There, I am swata siddha. I am self-evident. So the problem is not that I'm not self-evident. I am self-evident. The mind has a problem because of ajnanam. If the ajnanam is removed, then the self, my self-evident nature, is shining without the prakriti misidentifying with me. Right? So the misidentification that was caused by the ajnanam, the misidentification of the mind caused by the ajnanam, is not taking place anymore. And so the one that is absolutely still, akarta, abhokta, not performing any act of doing or changing or knowing in any way, that one is known. So he says, how does such a one see that? Gunaha guneshu vartante iti matva. That person who knows the self, for whom the self is aproksha, is self-evident, right? That person knows these gunas are all acting amidst the gunas. That means is the karya karana sangata, which is nothing but the gunas, the mind, the body, the sense organs, these gunas, these body, mind, sense organs are all involved, acting, and carrying on within their counterparts. It's nothing but prakriti that is taking place. Prakriti really is just the maya, and this is all just nothing but my being. But from my standpoint, I'm not doing anything. I recognize that I am not attached, says Nasajjate. Matva, knowing that these are all the gunas are acting, because seeing all the we experience all the activity going on. Matva, knowing this, Nasajjate, I am not attached. Because knowing that, you recognize that nothing is happening to you. Just as this is not a hocus pocus thing, it's a simple thing. Just as now, you recognize in the world as we perceive, if somebody says, you know, do you see how everything is existing in space, but the space is asanga? Like, for instance, if I were to throw some ink at the space wouldn't be touched. If I were to light a match in space, the space wouldn't be burnt. If I was to throw water at it, it wouldn't become wet. It's a sangha. If I, even in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse like this. If I try to cut it with a knife, nothing happens. It's a sangha. Like that, I am a sangha. No matter what the thoughts are, what the feelings are, what the activities are, what the mood is, I am a sangha. Nothing is happening to me, nor can it. Nothing can touch me. Just like if I were to say, do you see how nothing can touch space? Yeah, I know. And are you trying to educate me? Because you know it clearly. But for Ajnani, that I know that clearly. There's nothing happening to me. My mind might will be having whatever it we're doing, whatever it's doing. But I am a sangha. It's not able to cover me or change me or affect me in any way. That's not that the mind doesn't have whatever experience it's having. It is having that experience. It is having whatever range of emotion is there. But that it's not denying the range of emotion. It's not denying the experience. It's saying that I am a sangha in the midst of that experience. And that is my experience. For the jnani, that is aparoksha. That is recognized. That I am here amidst this stormy or calm experience, having undergoing no change at all. Mm. That's because myself has been differentiated and is in the foreground. And as one gains nishta in this knowledge, yourself is just more in the foreground. Because it's like saying, let's bring the clay into the foreground of the pot. It's ridiculous, right? There's nothing there. There's no place that your being is not. But the mind just has to see that. And then where does it have to look once it sees it? There's nothing there. There's nowhere that it need go. Nowhere it need go to look. Just like the pot need go. No, it doesn't have to go anywhere to look for the clay. It's your being is what is here actually. But what is here is a sangha. There is no movement or change to yourself at all. And so The jnani is the one knowing that amidst all of these gunas, amidst all of this activity taking place, amidst the body, the mind, the sense organs, being fully engaged in the world. Gunaha guneshu. Gunaha are the vikaras of the prakriti. The karyakarana sangata, the whole jiva. All being totally engaged in the prakriti. Prakriti is engaged in prakriti. The gunas are engaged in the gunas. So that is all the asangatvam of my being amidst all of that activity is very clear. So, let's stop there.
The term dosha.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.